And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
afraid. Tim will be in the second segment. He's doing, like, you know, kid school stuff. So he'll be here in a little bit. This is one thing that I've gotten a couple of times, and I haven't had time to read it. I'm going to do a report on it. This will be one of the videos that we do, and we'll, you know, have some fun. I really like to do more just interrupted special one-off videos that I prepare for and, you know, get all done and have some fun. But it's just, you know, it's a money thing. I need more for this. Now I got to buy another tab. I got to buy this. I got to buy that. I got to buy. And it was like mine and Donna's birthday and got 15 gazillion grandkid birthday and Christmas. And I was like, man, got to be responsible. Damn it. Which is one reason why we're going to be doing sponsors and subscriptions and everything. We're going to be, you know, doing the money raising thing. By the end of the month, we get this all done. I'm going to go, hey, fork it over. You got to slide for a decade or more, a decade and a half. Come on, man, a little for the home team here. So that's what we're going to do. Now, I got the teleprompter, a really nice one that got developed, and I'm going, yeah, this is cool. But I got it all set up, but I need a new tablet. And I'm going, okay, I'll just get you. No, it's got to be this kind of tablet. All right, fine. So it'll wait a little bit. So we'll get that up. And then starting tomorrow night, we'll be doing, I don't need, you know, a prompter really at all, but, you know, I like to get it tight, you know, because I could drag it out for hours, but, you know, it's a real skill is doing it, you know, a two-hour presentation in 5 minutes, you know, but I can do it, damn it, just give me how much time I got on the stage, and I can do it. So, but one thing I get sent to me by some people I really respect a couple of times from different angles is this article, Anarchy, the Law and Economics of Pirate Organization. Peter T. Leeson, Department of Economics at West Virginia University, written June 19, 2007. Now, this is, I've gotten this a couple of times from various people and really been pushed, and I've scanned, I know what the argument is, but it'd be nice to have a lot of facts. And I'll just read the abstract, which is like a paragraph, and then the beginning paragraph, you kind of get an idea what this is about. Tim will be in the next segment. This paper investigates the internal governance institutions of violent criminal enterprise by examining the law, economics, and organization of pirates. To effectively organize their banditry, pirates required mechanisms to prevent internal predation, minimize crew conflict, and maximize a piratical profit. I argue that pirates devised two institutions for this purpose. First, I analyzed the system of piratical checks and balances that crews use to constrain captain predation. Second, I examine how pirates use democratic constitutions to minimize conflict and create piratical law and order. Remarkably, pirates adopted both of these institutions before the United States or England. Pirate governance created sufficient order and cooperation to make pirates one of the most sophisticated and successful crime organizations in history. Let's see, it's a quote from Captain Charles Johnson. Nature, we see, teaches the most illiterate the necessary prudence for their preservation. These men, whom we term, and not without reason, the scandal of human nature, who were abandoned to all vice and lived by rapine when they judged it for their interest, were strictly just among themselves. Strictly just among themselves. This is the observation. Anybody that does anything about pirates, how the hell do you get to be captain of a pirate ship when you got a bunch of pirates, a sword just kill you? They go, yeah, and we get your share too. I mean, why? What was the organization? How did they do that? How could you run a pirate ship? How is that even possible? Pirates are known for raucousness, recklessness, and chaotic rapine. Pirate reality, however, is quite another picture. Real-life pirates were highly organized criminals. Unlike the swashbuckling psychopaths of fiction, historical pirates displayed sophisticated organization and coordination. Pirates could not use government to enforce or otherwise support cooperative arrangements between them. Despite this, they successfully cooperated with hundreds and sometimes thousands of other rogues. Amidst ubiquitous potential for conflict, they rarely fought, stole from, or deceived one another. In fact, piratical harmony was as common as harmony among their lawful contemporaries who relied on government for social cooperation. How did these men from whom we term the scandal of human nature, who were abandoned to all vice and lived by rapine, accomplish this impressive level of order? Becker, 1968, was the first to apply the logic of rational choice decision making to criminals. Following him, a number of others extended this logic to decision making in the context of organized outlaws. And it goes on and on and on, the economics of. The point is that they didn't have a governing central authority of the flag. They were against all flags. The thing is that as bad as some pirates were, I mean, you know, there were, you know, good pirates. They were called smugglers. You know, they just, you know, I don't want to have nothing. That was John Hancock was a smuggler. He dealt with pirates. I mean, that's, you know, that's how that happened. So where he made a lot of his wealth. And one of the reasons why the revolution is that every time a ship comes in, he had to, you know, pay a cut to the crown of the guy and a little extra, a little home team here and the briberies of, you know, screw this crap. You know, I buy this stuff, this guy wants it, I sell it to him, and where the hell are you, and now why do you get a cut and get out of my way just because you got a red coat standing on a pier? I go, no, and then you get the Boston Tea Party and all this kind of stuff. The thing was, is that the idea that we could, you know, govern ourselves and be without a crown or a pope or something telling us what to do, these were the pirates. Now, the thing is, they raped and pillaged that Spanish galleon of, yeah, but the King of England gave him a letter of marque to let him, you know, he could do it legally as long as King got a cut. Oh, it's okay as long as they get cut. What if I just don't give you a cut? Oh, then you're a pirate. Well, that's illegal. You can rape and pillage these guys all you want as long as you got our little piece of paper saying you can. And if you don't have a piece of paper and you can't because it's saying to us, well, then you're against all flags and then we're all against you. And we will combine our efforts of Spain, Portugal, France, and England. We'll come kick your ass in Italy. You know, we don't like it. We don't like it. Got to be under one of us. That's the deal. That's the rule. And they go, nah. And you guys stole it from the Incas anyway. You went and laid waste. 40-something million people died of plague. You know, you killed off everybody that was in your way, and all you did is had some monk walk in front of you with a crucifix, you know, got a cross up there going, ooh, in the name of, and all your gold is ours now. They put it on a ship, they go through the Caribbean, they take it, and somehow they're the bad guys? See my point? It's like V for Vendetta. They going, you stole that from the Chancellor? You got butter? You got all this art and everything? How do you steal from the censor? So this is, you know, you look at it in the time and the perspective from the pirates themselves that were shanghaied in some port. They're drinking grog one moment, and all of a sudden the next they wake up and they're on some freaking ship, and now you're in the Navy. You know, that's how they did the draft. Yeah, that's what Shanghai was. You keep talking about, oh, they shanghaied on a pirate ship. Hell, that wasn't where it was common. You know, they did it, man. They mostly did it was on the naval ships. They need somebody. We need to go ground us up some, you know, some drunkards. Well, guess what? On the ship, they ain't drunk no more, you know, because they don't have none. You know, rum was like currency. You know, in the Roman legion, it was salt. That's where salary comes from, you know. Got something of value. Well, pirates, you know, I guess they wanted their rum. So it just really belies a lot of what is going on now, what's going to happen, and you can determine where we're going. And they're going to call us pirates because we're without allegiance to a flag. Fine. Go ahead. I like the comparison. Let's talk about it. We'll be back just a little bit.
From the first letter of Dr. Idris Barber, I've healed many landlubbers, but could have healed countless more if they were willing to break the law to preserve themselves. The Crown required that I obey leeching privateers who didn't share my oath to do no harm. I was forbidden from discussing the treatments I knew patients needed. The Crown claims to protect landlubbers from bankrupting medical expenses, but only seduces them into begging for relief, while privateers monopolize the management of chronic illness. This royal alliance has constructed a medical hegemony that denies science, discredits alternative remedies, and mandates unwanted treatments, while callously ignoring the victims dying on waiting lists. They have produced a society increasingly addicted, impoverished, diseased, and suicidal. My conscientious objections and medical ambitions required not only seeing this cage, but leaving it. That's why I raised my black banner. Among pirates, the Crown's tantrums are irrelevant. You own your body without qualification. Open ocean medicine enables healers and customers to build a relationship of mutual consent. Prices decrease, quality increases, and physicians become as accessible as barbers. Customers determine their own medical care, whether that's experimental treatments, prohibited plants, controversial procedures, bootleg pharmaceuticals, or even the right to die. Any system of command and control is rejected. In time, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, genetic engineering, and cybernetic prosthetics could take the human condition beyond our imagination. Medical augmentation could eliminate aging, enhance intelligence, and erase our fundamental physical limitations. With the Crown in our wake and the individual at the helm, we are free to pursue an unfettered life. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Imagine someone in your community getting in their car, turning on the radio, and hearing the Liberty Radio Network. You can make that vision a reality with your own micro radio station. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how you can put our programs on the air in your area. You can have lrn.fm running around the clock, and you can even add in your own local shows. Building a radio station is simple, but programming isn't. That's where lrn.fm comes in. Learn more at broadcast.lrn.fm. That's broadcast.lrn.fm. Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Hey, we're back. Hey, we got Tim. Tim, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning,
yes,
everybody.
Yes, he did it. I just pushed the button to see if he was there. Okay. The one thing I want to get straight to is the information that you found out about how they determine the interest rates on what they expect in bonds of return of Obama went back and changed in 25 years instead of the last couple. What, you know, tell the audience what we're talking about, because you told me about this and I found this extremely interesting. And it's all one of the little bitty dials that they turn and change, and we don't know about it until it's too late. So kind of share this story with the audience, will you please?
Well, good morning, everybody. So this past weekend, we were at
we're talking to Tim Pachote. Tim Pachote, thelibertyadvisor.com, economics, take care of your business and retirement and whatever, and go to Liberty, thelibertyadvisor.com. Sorry about that. Go.
Okay. So, yeah. So yesterday I have a client who I've been working with almost since the very, very beginning of my career. And it was a client where I was standing at a home show, you know, handing out little raffle things, and ended up, you know, basically working with this guy and his wife, you know, for about the past decade, probably actually maybe even more than a decade. And he's getting ready to retire now. He's 62. He's with a big Fortune 500 company. And sort of his dilemma is, well, do I take the lump sum pension, or do I take the pension that they're going to give me, where it's, you know, X amount of thousands of dollars per month, or do I take the lump sum and invest it into an annuity, which will then also give him a guaranteed payment for life? And there's some other bells and whistles that may or may not have as well. So as we're going through, he sends me some documents saying, hey, you know, Tim, I was, you know, sort of concerned about the pension. However, you know, I just got this new annual notice and things look really good, and I'm not as concerned anymore. Can you take a look at it? And so meanwhile, there's like 20 things that jump out at me right away that really concern me. And so I'm writing an email. And then as I'm about to hit send of the email, I'm sort of scanning through this big document he sends me, and I happen to catch a spot in the document that says, I'll just read the whole thing. And you guys are going to love the name of this. So there's a temporary supplement to your annual funding notice, which is required by the, here's the name of it, Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century Act and the Highway and Transportation Funding Act of 2014 and the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015. Basically, these federal laws change how pension plans calculate their liabilities. The purpose of this supplement is to show you the effect of these changes. Prior to 2012, pension plans determined their liabilities using a two-year average of interest rates. So what's going on here is that the pension funds, when they try to calculate their own solvency, what they do is they, or like the percentage that their fund is currently managed, what they do is they use the last 2 years' interest rates as a measure of kind of going forward of what what they can expect in their bond funds. Now what they're doing is they're going back 25 years for average interest rates. So obviously in the 90s, the interest rates were dramatically higher than they are now. So it basically gives a complete false distortion of what's going on in terms of the interest rate situation. And so it says, this means that your interest rates likely will be higher and plan liabilities lower than they were under prior law. As a result, your employer may contribute less money to the plan at a time when market rates are at or near historical lows. And then there's a chart on here, and it shows that, okay, you know, with the adjusted rates, this big Fortune 500 company's pension plan is 81% funded. They've got like a $330 million shortfall. If you, without these new adjusted rates, it's like closer to 60% or, you know, high 50s. And so this is just, you know, one more thing in a long train of abuses of how the pension funds are going to be absolutely screwed. Ernie and I both talked to Ann Arizona this past weekend and Saturday in beautiful Sedona, Arizona. It was a great conference. I'm sure we'll discuss more about that. But one of the big themes of my presentation, what was the theme of my presentation? I'm trying to think what the title of my presentation was. It was, actually, I've got it pulled up.
Was it a sequence or was it?
No, it was the greatest economy ever, where we are and where we're going. And so I went through and talked about, you know, a lot of the different economic data, because we started off the year, the market's absolutely exploding. You're probably thinking, okay, there's been all this great news. And I went over a lot of the news, and long story short, skip to the end, is that I used to have a presentation, well, I still do have a presentation called The Trump Effect and Why Good News is Bad News. Now it's Why Bad News is Good News, because it's been the bad news that has led to the Federal Reserve not raising rates anymore, which is, you know, quote unquote, good news. And so eventually I think bad news will be bad news, but we went in and we talked about the pension system. We talked about how I believe the best state pension right now is, I think it's Wisconsin at 85% funded. And the worst is, you know, go figure, no surprise, Illinois at 25% funded. And that's using these BS adjusted rates. So I didn't even know that they were using these rates. Now I end up, you know, sneaking into the chair about 5 seconds before we came on here. So I don't have all this ready. But here, okay, here I am at irs.gov. And so right now, they're, for the longer term bonds, they're able to use 6.11%. Actually, I think they're able to go 100 within 110% of that. And I actually look like they're able to actually take sort of these, there's these different tranches. So the shorter term bonds, you know, have one rate that you can use. The middle tier bonds have another rate, and the longer term bonds have another rate that they use. And so we've been going back to 2012. Actually, let's say it's 2015 when this was instituted. They could use a rate as high as 8.33% as an assumption. And so when I looked at my client's pension fund, how it was invested, it was close to 80% of it was in bonds. And so what they're, or at least when they did the December 31st value. So sometimes what these funds do is it's called window dressing, where they'll basically BS what their true holdings are, have different holdings for the end of the year. So then that way their balance sheet might look better. They might want to, you know, hide from investors what they really have. And so if they have everything in bonds and they can assume bonds are paying close to 7%, which they're not going to, and there's no way that's going to happen. That's completely fake news. That they can give a much better picture of the true of the state of the health of their pension fund than if it was in stocks.
Okay, wait. There is a variable by law of the government that when they report, they're allowed or even have to report that the expected returns on their bonds is mandated by some government number that doesn't exist.
I can, I can actually show you the document on the screen. I'm actually selling Alex Jones now. I've got the documents.
All right, here, wait a minute. Let me pull over here. All right, go ahead and give me a picture. Show me what's up.
All right, so this is actually straight from the IRS website. I did my, you know, little 20 minutes of researching this yesterday in between other stuff. And so what it says is, if, as we're scrolling down here, so they're allowed, so from 2012 to 2020, I think they're able to pick like whatever the maximum rate is and go 110% higher than that. So let's say rates in the 90s were at 10%.
So they take a BS number and add 10%?
Yeah. And actually, starting in 2021, they can go add 15%, then 20%, then 20%.
Oh, my God.
Every year, they get to add an extra 5%. So
you could get up to 130% of what a made-up BS number to begin with.
To the highest, basically, watermark of that period, they get to add 130%.
Okay, no, we need to hear more about this in layman speak. I'm going to start asking a bunch of questions because this is... You know, you're speaking geek, and I'm like
I'm only one day into knowing about this.
I'm asking questions of what one day, then we get some more. But we just found out about this yesterday. Damn.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing.
Yeah, when we come back, you know, let's go ahead. I got some, and crypto's shooting up. You know, yeah. All of a sudden, I'm looking at here. Bitcoin Cash is up almost 18%. You know, I'm going, woohoo, what about Bitcoin? And you go over and you look at Bitcoin price, and Bitcoin is almost 12%. So, you know, Bitcoin is at 47. It was like 38, 39 just last week or something. It's up $1,000. Well, in my portfolio that I have on my my phone of the different ones that I got, you know, I'm up 30, 40%, you know, because I choose wisely. So this is, I'm going, wow, this is, you know, damn. I wish I had a bunch more money I'd put in, you know, crypto back when I, you know, crypto, Bitcoin Cash was as low as like $80-something, you know, a couple of months ago. And that, they do that after Christmas when you don't have the, you know, so I'm just, so I get a little bit, just say I did, but it was, now it's 198, it's over 200 on some exchanges. So that's 100 and something. I mean, when can you get this kind of, and that was one thing, what's his name, the crypto trading guy that spoke at Anarkazona.
Scott Sorensen.
Yeah, Scott Sorensen. Scott, you know, we've met him at Anarkopoco and here and so on. He's just like, look, man, I don't know what the hell this HODL crap is you guys keep talking about. He goes, I don't even make a trade unless it's, I don't know, 20% increase or something. He's, you know, the volatility, oh, it keeps going up and down. You got to take your profits. Well, you think he's taking his profits today? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, matter of fact, he was actually on his Facebook page. He was saying what he was doing in terms of Dash or something. But I wasn't paying attention. I was looking up all the pension stuff. So,
all right, let's go see what Dash is doing. You know, because I just sold a bunch of Dash to get more Bitcoin Cash.
Let's see, it's the past 7 days up 36%.
Damn.
But I'm gonna go right back. I've got to get some tissues. My all right, nose.
Go.
Crazy.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with AgristHosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to AgristHosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's AgristHosting.com.
Some of our live shows are streamed in HD on Twitch. Please follow and share at twitch.lrn.fm. That's twitch.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
That's what prompts, you know, songs. You know, this is, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. All right. Now, just take a look at some of the things here. Dash was in February as low as $66 in the 60s, and now it's at what? You know, 121. So it's almost 100% increase in, you know, less than a couple of months. So I'm going, you know, these guys, that's what Scott was, Sorensen, I think his name is, that's what he was talking about at Anarkazona. He's going, look, man, you guys need to be trading, because it goes up and down, you got some good volatility, and we understand, yada, yada, and use my, you know, Telegram page of we're all buddies getting rich on doing the stocks, I mean, doing the market on cryptos. And his thing was, is that you gotta take your profits, you know, don't get all emotional about, you know, what you need to do is you need to get in there and go, you know what, I think I'll take that 20% this week. And then it goes, you know, and then they, oh, I think I'll take that 20% too. So there's enough volatility in there. And if you follow his method or whatever, you get stinky rich and you go live in Panama. So which is what he's doing. Or he's in Acapulco.
Playa del Carmen.
I'm sorry?
Playa del Carmen.
Wherever that is.
Mexico.
Really? So this is there's a lot of opportunities here, and you know it's going to be going up and down, and you could just hold it and waiting for it and go up, but in the meantime you could have made a bunch. So that might be something to look at. We'll see, but that's not really what you're involved in. You know, you offer crypto as part of retirement. It's not necessarily trading it, but you know, in this process, what we found out is from the man, there is a mandate that you have a expectation, and it keeps increasing by 2030 or something. It's going to be, or not even that long, it's going to be to where you have what? You have 130% of what they average over the last 25 years, what you can predict is going to be the return in percentage on these bonds. How far off am I?
No, that's what's going on. So essentially, you know, these bonds right now, what they're using is, I was searching this down, is they're using, I guess it looks like they're using the LIBOR rate. And so, and actually I do, up here we go, I also pulled up with the average.
Okay, LIBOR. LIBOR is the interest rate that the banks and the central banking charge each other overnight to balance out their something. Right.
Yeah, it's sort of like our Fed funds rate, but it's
and manipulated as hell. And that got proven that whatever. Okay, so LIBOR is just another, you know, dial button number that they play with, and it don't mean nothing. All right, go.
Yeah, don't forget it's called the Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century Act. So we're gonna allow the employers to take their already insolvent pension funds and pay even less money towards it. So that way on paper, you can give people a false confidence that things are going way better than or not as bad as you would think they would. And nobody cares. I mean, how there's not some gigantic crisis with the fact that Chicago has 25% funded. 25% funded.
Your municipal pensions and so on, their debt.
25. This is during like these boom times, supposedly. So it's just a complete joke. And then, you know, you get, you know, then just look at who heads our country's, you know, financial committee. It's,
okay. Now, when you say this, these different countries, states, whatever, certainly the states here, and they go, yeah, our pensions are 80% funded, or they're only 25% funded. That figure is based on BS to begin with, which is this number that you're talking about, right?
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't even know about this aspect of it till yesterday, because I thought that they were already screwed. I'm like, man, these, and I went over that, and so I was up till 1 a.m. last night overlaying my slides onto the presentation last night. So you guys can, I sent it to Don. I'm not sure if it's up on Freedom's Phoenix yet, because I just slid into the chair right before everything started. However, You can also, I believe, get it on my website if you guys are following my podcast. Those of you subscribed, like either Podbean or iTunes or Google Play, I've got the link inside of there as well. So some of you probably listen to it, but there is a link where you can watch it. And so I would recommend watching this one because it's got the different slides that are on there. And when I went through and actually did talk about the pensions for quite a bit. And I wish I knew this little nugget of information, because this is just like, it's just one more, this is one more thing. And this is a multiplier of the other dangers that I talked about. And this is also giving people that false hope that I mentioned before of thinking, oh, hey, you know, things are actually pretty good, but who knows this? I don't know. I am so into this stuff, and the fact that this slipped by me, and I asked probably three or four other advisors who I happened to talk with yesterday if they knew anything about this, and all of them had never heard of this. And this is, you know, pretty top tier guys who are very knowledgeable.
So who is this that's making this, this change in law? I mean, this is a congressional thing, right?
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I mean, 2015, so you had the, I think it was 2014, so I guess you had the Republicans were still in charge, technically, of Congress. But, you know, it's in all their interest to, you know, kick the can down the road, make things appear better than they really are, and until we, you know, we've got this, you know, ultimate day of reckoning that's going to be upon us. But, you know, one of the other things I mentioned in the presentation that I really highly recommend people check out is that if you know the destination, you can see the journey. Is what, you know, David Icke was saying during his Anarchapoco speech. And the destination is there's no way we can pay Social Security, so we're going to print trillions of dollars. No way we can pay Medicare, so which is even a greater obligation than Social Security by, you know, many factors. So we're going to print tens of trillions of dollars for that. There's no way we can pay all these healthcare schemes. No way we can pay the pensions. And so I can envision a future where we're going to have to keep printing, you know, probably hundreds of trillions of dollars. And I'm not even really joking, because once you start getting into this debt spiral, then it really starts going crazy. You know, when you start, even at these low interest rates, when you're dealing with numbers that are in the, you know, tens of trillions of dollars.
Bank holiday. We're changing. Reset. Next.
Yeah. And so, I mean, ultimately, I think that the, you know, the stocks would benefit from that, relatively speaking. The people holding on to bonds are going to get wiped out. People holding on to dollars are going to get wiped out. Also, I mentioned how, you know, the Fed can choose which one of these you're going to save between.
Well, which one can they save? You got the dollar, stocks, bonds. I mean, you've been saying that for a while, that they can save what? One of them? Two of them? You know, is there any of them they can't save? It seems like the debt and the bonds is the one that I don't. Why are you even wasting your time?
Well, that's the one that allows this merry-go-round to keep going around, because if the companies, like these zombie companies, especially over in Europe, like the Deutsche Banks of the world. So, I mean, Deutsche Bank gets to borrow money at nothing, or maybe even gets to, you know, paid to borrow money for, you know, the craziness that's going on. I'm not 100% sure on that, but a lot of places in Europe, as we mentioned last time on your show, have negative interest rates. Whether it's, I mean, Italy has negative interest rates, and they're a complete disaster. I think France has negative interest rates. Japan has negative interest rates. Switzerland has negative interest rates. And so, you know, if you're Deutsche Bank and you're basically insolvent and you're sitting on, you know, trillions and trillions of dollars of derivatives, and now you get to get paid to borrow money, you know, you can keep these zombie companies rolling for a while. But if rates start going up, there's no way they can pay it. Same thing with the governments. The governments are also relying on these negative interest rates. So if they're able to roll their interest rates over in this whole rigged system and get paid to borrow money from themselves, who knows how long they can keep
this
going.
They keep the interest rates low and then allow them to do forecasting and convince and con their clients and so on that are investing with financial advisors in these different bonds and municipal bond debt and bonds and treasury bills of, is that they're a lot healthier than what they really are, because they're allowing them to do 110% of the BS number that they said that the bonds are based on an average of 25 years anyway. And every year that keeps going up to as much as 130% of a BS number. This is BS. I mean, am I saying that right?
Yeah, and what's really crazy is they allow it. Let's say if, like, there's certain tranches, and so let's say one of the tranches that the high water mark was 8%, the low water mark, let's say, was 4%. They will then take, you can then use the 8% and 110% of the 8%, and then every year after next year, it goes up 5% a year. It's just absolutely nuts, the things that they're able to do. So if the real LIBOR rate is like, I don't know, it's like 2%.
All right, wait, we're going into, you know, get technical there, right? And when we go into break, I'd be mean. All right, we'll be right back. Temperature, we'll get learnified, maybe what a solution is. We'll be right back.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, they're doing their incantations, man. They're getting ready. Here she comes. We got to pull the trigger on the people, Merca, and the world. These guys, man, they're a they, them, freaking those with funky costumes and pointy horns and tails and blood-dripping fang stuff. And then crap happens, you know? This is scary, and they're doing their, you know, toil and trouble and stirring the cauldron on and kind of, can you imagine Hillary being president? You know, it's one thing, I was like, bring on the Clintons in the mid-90s. I was like, yeah, hell yeah, let's hurry up and get the police state so we can leave. Well, it's coming. And it's not going to be fun. Are we going to learn anything from this? What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we learn something. But unfortunately, if you got, you know, as many people are waking up, you have just as many people going back to sleep. I mean, people are just being programmed into, you know, everything they think. People are programmed into how they feel, how they react to things, what they, you know, basically everything is programmed into people. That's why it's called television programming, and, you know, especially Google, social networks. And ultimately, you know, doing things like IPFS, where the man won't be able to take things down, where they're going to wish that they didn't mess with these different content creators to begin with. You know, it's not going to, I don't think it'll be in time for the 2020. I don't think it'll be as, won't be as prevalent, because there's still so many people that have no idea shadow banning is going on. They have no idea. I mean, just look at the economics discussion group we went to, what was it, like a week and a half ago. None of those guys knew anything about shadow banning, pretty much. I mean, by and large, I mean, most of them knew nothing about any of the shadow banning that was going on. And so people need to start waking up, and just, you know, because unfortunately guys like you and I are just so far ahead of the curve on so many different things, where the stuff that we were talking about 5 years ago, people are just finding out about now. Like, people are just talking about, you know, the deep state and all this different collusion stuff that's going on, where, you know, by the time the masses get around to that, we're already on, you know.
Yeah. Well, one thing Tim is talking about is the economic discussion group's been around for, God, 30-something, 40 years. And it's they, them, those in, you know, the liberty community at a higher end here in Arizona. So you got, like, you know, libertarian doctors and lawyers and different institutions and think tanks and all that kind of been going. And, and I'm one of the black sheep. But you can see there's a lot more anarchists since I've been, you know, it's kind of, you know, this group is starting to get a little more anarchist. And I gave a presentation last week as kind of a prelude to me going to Anarchizona. And the point that I was making is, you know, this whole pushback technologically is possible, and it's going to happen. How are they, them, those going to respond? I don't know, but they're going to. You know, it's kind of, you know, a lot of people, when you're talking about the shadow, the need for it, and we're talking about how the internet's being shut down and their options, they had no clue. That's what Tim's talking about. They're going, what? Shadow ban? What does that mean? How are you know, they're denying me access to information, and I don't even know it got, they don't even know it's gone. They don't even know. They just go for a solution. It's not there anymore. You know, it's just
these are very learned people within the Liberty community. It's not like your average rank and file person. Like these are people that should know better. I mean, in the grand scheme of things,
you know, in general and abstract, they do know better. They're just kind of, well, you know, it's not on my front doorstep right now. So what happened is the head organizer of that, Roy, he got a copy of the letters of Mark. And I gave him one of the good copies, or he gave me $10 or something for it. And he sent me an email just a couple days ago, and he says, wow, this is awesome. You know, when we come back next in November, as the next opening they have for a presentation, he wants me to give a presentation on the development of the book. You know, how we selected, you know, the history of everything that we did. Because you read them in order and you're going, holy crap, this is like unassailable. This is, oh my God, this is manifesto of the treatise of whatever the hell. And I'm going, yeah, we spent a lot of time on this. And it's just going to keep getting added to, and it's going to be a basis for a lot of things. So these, if these guys, you know, are this unaware, if these guys get this kind of epiphany, if these guys, you know, are impacted this much by it, what happens when everybody doesn't understand what the hell is going on and find out the truth, and all of a sudden it's grapes of wrath kind of stuff, and they go, I don't know, man, but I'm going to find out. When they find out, they, them, those don't want the information there for them to discover. That's what's going on. And I'm going, no, 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 hell no, because what do we got right here? This was sent to me, or I was made aware of this by Tim. The Fed guarantees no recession for 10 years. Permanent uptrend for stocks and housing. This is just, this is April Fool's? Is this an April Fool's thing?
Or well, that wasn't me that sent it, but that was an April Fool's joke. But
it was?
Yeah, at the very bottom, I read it yesterday, so I didn't send it to you, but I did read that one yesterday.
This has got to be an April Fool's thing, man.
At the bottom, though, it goes, it's April Fool's, but it goes, really, how far off is it from reality, though?
Because this is what they were saying 10 years ago. It's what they told you.
Well, there's still, actually, if you go to, CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, they actually, in their forecast, don't have a single recession forecast for the next 10 years. Like really, not that's not April Fool's joke. Like they really do not have any recessions forecast in the next 10 years of their budget. And so, I mean, the next time there's a recession, it's going to be the last one, which is why nobody wants it on their watch, which is why they're going to be absolutely screwed next time this is upon them. And so that's why they're doing everything they can. That's why they announced that they're going to be not raising interest rates. That's why they're going to be stopping their bond program that's where they're selling bonds off the balance sheet that we've, you know, beat over the head the last two times I was on. I think that's stopping in September. And so, I mean, if you can't roll assets off the balance sheet during these boom times, when the hell are you going to be able to do it? Because I remember, I forgot the year, but Bernanke, when this stuff started going on, QE, like probably 2009, 2010, he came out and said, we are not monetizing debt. He was adamant that we are not going to be monetizing the debt. And now it's like, we're monetizing the debt.
Yeah, so they were doing it at the time. You know, it's a lie. You know, this is what this balance sheet thing is about. I'm going, I thought they couldn't do that. They weren't allowed to. They were saying they weren't doing it. Of course they were doing it. You know, that's where this one-to-one, 100% of toxic loan, toxic debt, toxic to whom? It was toxic to the private banks, and they go, they got to get rid of it. They can't be toxic. We're going to give it to the taxpayer. That's what we'll do. You know, I'm going, wow. And then we have the story here. Retail layoffs are 92% higher in 19, and now even Walmart is quietly closing stores. I remember the feeling, and I keep emphasizing this. You don't know when, Ernie. I know, man. We're one freaking day closer. I can guarantee you that. You know, tomorrow we'll be another day closer, and then all of a sudden it's going to be, you know, what the hell just happened? It's Monday, and they keep pushing. They have all these different things that they push it back one more time. Push it back, way back. And that's what they're doing. And we're just sitting here going, yeah, drinking the Kool-Aid and whatever. So what are you doing?
The longer it takes, the worse it's going to get. So, I mean, they're just making it get even worse for everybody else. You're giving everyone false hope. I mean, all the Trump people out there, I mean, think that, you know, basically nothing has ever been better. And they're just waltzing, you know, right into this trap. And the free market, you know, even though obviously everyone knows who's listening that it's not a free market that we have right now, but, you know, the free market, tax cuts, those are going to get the blame next time this gets rolled around. And it's going to culminate in what I believe is either hardcore socialists winning in either 2020 or 2024. And a lot of your listeners, I mean, I started coming on your show talking about how I thought Trump had a great shot at winning in September 2016. So I'm not somebody that was just always poo-pooing Trump. I thought he was going to, I mean, just like Dr. Frank, independent. I mean, we didn't know each other until the first day I met Dr. Frank was actually the night of the election. That's the first time I ever met him.
Oh, was it a party here or something?
Yeah, you had the party at your house, and I think we were like the last two to leave. I mean, it was late. By the time they got the results rolling in and it was finalized, I mean, it was pretty late by that point. That was a good day.
Announcement Trump went, and you know, my emotion at the time was like, yeah, here we go. You know, it's going to be more entertainment. You know, and then of course I was really interested in how Hillary was going to react to this and the whole and they just did not disappoint. I mean, it was amazing. Trump derangement syndrome, derangement. Well, we definitely got a dose of that. Yeah, when we come back, we'll talk about Mueller. Mueller, and you know what's really, is that even, do we care? I mean, how much are we just, I don't know, we'll find out. Tim Pachot's got something to say about what's happening with the Mueller investigation, how Russiagate's not there anymore, and what, you know, the other guy, and I don't care. Oh, Dr. Frank's gonna be mad at me. Yesterday, my son-in-law wanted to go, and I went and saw Captain Marvel, you know, but he bought the ticket, so I didn't get in trouble. So we'll go ahead and we'll talk about that a little bit too. But yeah, it was kind of flat. You know, I can see what's going on. We'll go ahead and have more of a Tim Pachot in the next hour. TheLibertyAdvisor.com. Go get your finances right. But first, I think you got to get your mind right. Well, hopefully we can help with that. Then Tim Pachot, take care of your retirement.
In a competitive tech.
Okay, I'm going to take a break. We'll come back at the top of the, you know, at 6 after. Is there anything else you want to talk about before you go?
I'm just scanning some articles. There's an article on Zero Hedge about bond downgrades surpass upgrades by the most since 2016. I don't know. Maybe we can talk a little about Anarchazona if you want when we get back.
Yeah, we can do that. I'll do that. All right. This is, there's a bunch of news. Yeah, but, you know, whatever. It's all same. You know, news. Week February U.S. retail sales underscore slowing economy. Tell me something we didn't know. Let's see what else is going on. Nah, conspiracy this, conspiracy that. Aramco opens its books, finds out it's more profitable than Apple, Google, and Exxon combined. Yeah, I'm sure shocked. And then creepy Biden, they're really hammering on him. Let's see. Yeah, there's really not that much that, you know, pressing got to do right now. There's a bunch of interesting stuff. But in Arizona, I'll probably do it. All right, cool. We'll be back in a little bit.
All right.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! We got things to worry about here in America or the planet. Hell, man, you know, it's just, but you know, we had Anarchazona was, you know, kind of a spontaneous young guy that lived in China for 5 years, taught there, got a Chinese fiance, brings her back, Crystal, she's got it going on, very intelligent, got it, you know, a beat on the world, experienced what's up there, and come America, and he's going, you know, He went to Narcozona, Narcopoco over the last couple of years, inspired. And he goes, yeah, I don't know why we don't got something going on in Arizona. Let's do something in Arizona. And then he goes, boom! There's a bunch of stuff going on in Arizona. Holy crap, man. You build it and they come. Well, they came. And I bet, you know, he probably, you know, broke even, made some money. You know, got it. They had I think there was only one other time that this has happened. One of them was a Freedom Summit. A guy did this, and he gave out DVDs. But when we were done with our presentations, the audiovisual guy came up with a memory key, and he gave us our presentation. Here, done. There you go. And usually it's like a fight for months to get, what the hell? You go, bap, here it is, done, next. Wow. Now, they had it going on. So it was the flavor of it that was different. What the flavor of it was is like, yeah, we're not going to fix this. There's no fixing it. It's surviving it. They're just, you know, how are we going to, you know, survive in the future? Well, what do you think it was, Tim? What was the flavor of a Narcozona from your perspective?
It definitely, I think it had a little bit different flavor than, obviously a lot different flavor than Anarchapoco in terms of like the overall atmosphere. But, you know, it was, I would say it definitely exceeded my expectations. Like it was almost standing room only. Like they probably could have only maybe sold another 20, 30 tickets at most. There was not very many empty seats at all. Maybe that's just because a few people were outside.
Yeah, you know. No, it got to where, yeah, everybody was in, it filled it up and, you know, they had opened the doors. But it was a nice place. In the nice place. It was Sedona. You know, it was beautiful. Luke and I did the interviews out back. You had this great, you know, view of the forest and the Red Mountains. You did the interviews there. You interviewed Jeff Berwick and who else did you interview up there?
Scott Sorensen and Michael, the guy who put it on.
When are you going to have those videos up, Slacker?
Well, I mean, I was working on mine last night, so I got mine up, and then what I want to do is put together like a compilation video, and hopefully sometime this week. I just now have the ability to post on World Alternative Media, and actually one of the things I had to do yesterday is I wanted to make sure, you know, it's one thing if I put up music, or if I put up a video and it has copyrighted stuff in there, but it's another thing if I put it up on somebody else's channel that I'm, you know, gracious enough to be, you know, included on. So there was, you know, a song that was on, that was playing. And so I'm like, you know what, maybe that's a little bit longer than I should have it on there. So I had to go in and kind of edit that part out. So I put the full versions up right now on BitChute, and it's going to be up on my YouTube channel, but I've got the edited version I also had to make last night to put it on Josh's channel. Cause I don't want to get him in any more trouble than he's already.
No, everybody's in trouble. It's all trouble, 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 trouble. Here on, you know, Freedom's Phoenix at the top. I don't know what's on top now, but right now you see Ernest Hancock presentation at Narcozona. Boom, we have it. The Pirate's Life for Me. You know, and then we did some other interviews. They're already up. Luke's stuff we had up yesterday. And, you know, Tim's stuff there. So it was a going concern. But what I'm wanting to get from you is the people that were there and the vibe. You know, what would you think the realization? Why were they there?
I'd say Anarchapoco, to compare it, is almost more of a party, and you're really there for all the other people who are there. Whereas, and, you know, not everybody is listening to the presentations, and certainly, you know, you and I, you know, we probably missed 90% of them, because it's more like the overall vibe and networking and whole experience that's going on down in Mexico. Whereas this, I mean, most people were sitting through most of the presentations. I don't want to say sitting through; it makes it sound like, you know, like we didn't want to sit.
No,
there,
it was nice.
Yeah, the presentations, I probably listened to 90% of everything that was going on. And the only I feel bad because I missed, there was actually a marriage proposal, and I was speaking right after the guy that proposed, Benny Wills. And so I went out back and actually was talking with Scott Sorensen and, you know, was getting ready for my own talk. So I had no idea that there was a proposal. And like, I was like, I think I was like myself and Ben.
Yeah, I was sitting in the second row right behind her when it happened, and, you know, got down on one knee and, you know, at the end of his presentation and proposed to his fiance, you know, now fiance there. And she was sang. You know, there was, you know, and Michael McGillicuddy that put it on, played guitar, and it was a nice, pleasant thing. One of the benefits was we've done different Freedom Summits where we've had 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. By the third day, man, you're just dragging it. And what we found out, if we make it a 1 day thing, which done like for a Vaccine Education Summit or the Bitcoin Summit and some summits this way, the most recent summit we did in February is like this. You have a 1 day thing. You start now. There, fortunately, they didn't start until 9 or 10, you know, and you had 20 to 30 minute presentation, about 25 minute presentation. Boom, 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 boom. So they went pretty fast. Next person got up. You got a lot of information, a lot of people, a lot of perspective, a lot of input. They had everybody, we all went up and took questions from the audience at the end. And it was just really, for a one-day presentation, there was probably, God, almost a dozen people presented or something. It was a lot. It was like
I wasn't bored at all.
It was awesome. And then They had an after party. I came home. You know, I found a ride somebody. I came home because I had a wife and stuff. And, taking my granddaughter out for her birthday that I missed the party that day. So we went out, on Sunday and got her little earrings and so on. Seven. Now, and we had some fun. So I needed to get back, but Tim stayed, and there was a party, with Berwick and Luke, and they're involved. I'm like, maybe I don't. I want to survive, man. I'll go home. But the Tim stayed and had some fun. So not only was Anarka Zona the presentations, but a lot of people stayed for the after party. How'd that go?
I mean, it wasn't anything crazy. I mean, there was maybe 20 people there, but yeah, a bunch of the speakers were there, and Jeff and Luke did show up. Kingsley and Aaron were there as well. A bunch of people I know went hiking the next day.
Kingsley Edwards, I got to talk quite a bit with him and his girlfriend from Las Vegas. That was a good ad.
He is basically in works right now to create like a Facebook killer content creator platform right now called Float. .app, I believe, is the website, and what they're doing is making and actually it's funny because when we were on the break, he tagged a whole bunch of content creators in this post, and one of the guys was saying, he was like, well, Kingsley, I see that it's uncensorable, and aren't you scared that people are going to post some really, really bad stuff, and it's going to be really, really bad and scary because there's going to be so much freedom? And this guy is a guy that I've gotten into it with him before. I didn't say anything this time, it's just par for the course for this one other troll that's on there. But yeah, so it's like, having too much freedom is a little bit too dangerous.
Catapult channel. Yeah, I was talking to him. Where's my catapult channel? Catapult. And they're like, no, I remember. This is it. This is starting to come back from other directions. See, the whole concept is a catapult, little kittens and the cactuses kind of thing. If you can't take that down, then you got something. Because, man, they definitely want to go out and stop the abuse of cats, Not that I do it, but that's not the point. So this is, you got to go, pirates, I embrace it. Yeah, little kittens, yeah, I embrace it. Yeah, it's going to be. Because I don't see the big, giant scream to take down, all the warmongering or the lies, the fraud, the terrorist bombs, nuclear devices, kiddie porn of nothing. Nobody cares. If you harm a cat, man, you're going to find out whether you can take it down or not. So they're wanting to offer a social media that it doesn't censor by policy or by design. See, there's a difference. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage.
These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Town. That's one thing, you know, the popular music at the time when I was graduating high school in the late 70s and we get in the early 80s and so on was John Cougar. Then it's John Cougar Mellencamp, then it's John Mellencamp because that was his real name. So John Cougar Mellencamp, you know, he expressed a lot of what was going on at the time because he was from Pennsylvania, I think. And he's going, look, man, we're living here in Allentown and what, you know, I need a job. You know, a blue-collar man, you know, the Blue Oyster Cult, and we got there. It was all about, man, give me a job, give me security, give me a chance to survive. I mean, there's all kinds of this stuff. And you know, where's popular music now? It's just two guys in Europe that, you know, going, dunk, dunk, you know, dialing it in and change the lyrics, and everybody gets sued for copyright violation. it's amazing. You know, we're just being programmed. We are so, where are the bands that are on the edge? Where are the ones that are representing? Where are, you know, I got to go to Jordan Page and him writing a censorship song. You know, is that what's going to happen? Yep. Probably, and being produced and, you know, promoted by Warner Brothers and Time Warner. They'll get all over that, you think? You think the record label, they're going to, you know, the Capitol Records, they're going to be put, are they even around anymore? Are there any Tower record stores anymore? See, it's going to come from the people, and it's going to come from, you know, a permanence of information. Now we're going to be talking about, because we saw this memory hole thing happening over 10, 15 years ago. You know, any of us that were paying attention, we go, God, where is that one thing? I've touched that. And I remember there were a lot of videos that we were putting up that they kept getting taken down. Now you have places where you can go and they're not taken down anymore. What are they then those going to do? I don't know. I have no idea how this is going to work out. I have no idea. But when we went to Narcozona, this was, you got, it started off with Larkin Rose and then myself and, you know, and then, you know, there was Tim and some other guys and so on in Berwick, kind of ended it off and so on. And then we all took questions, but it was really refreshing to have so many people. I don't know, maybe there was a troll or two in there, but they were definitely overwhelmed with, we're just going to, you know, survive our way out of this and don't have to outrun the bear, just outrun everybody else. I mean, outrun the bear would be good, too. So I'm, you know, the flavor was different and a lot of the others. And it wasn't a resignation of what's coming. It was like, hey, here in Arizona, the atmosphere, a lot of people there were just enlightened. We get it. We understand. We're preparing for it. And we're talking to Tim Pachote, the Liberty Advisor, to make sure those that are stuck in our 401k and all our retirements on the grid of the man to get above the grid. You know, let's talk about that, Tim. I mean, I really want to emphasize that it's freaking now. If you're not getting ready now, I went through this before. We had Freedom's Phoenix in 05 by 07. We're starting.
Let me correct you. It was 1 month ago, because if you want to get into a crypto IRA, by the time you get all, you know, dicking around with everything, it's probably going to take about a month if you want to do it right, where you've got the private keys and obviously your listeners want to do it right. So what I'm willing to do right now, because, you know, as a I guess a little flash sale, as we've got this, you know, market rally right now, is, you know, if you are interested in getting into it, what I'm willing to do is, usually if you have more than $250,000 in aggregate, so let's say you've got, you know, $50,000 you want to put into a crypto IRA or self-directed Roth or IRA, you've got another $200,000 you want over on the side doing other more traditional type stuff, that's where I've got the free offer. I'll put it down to $100,000 for the next, you know, let's make it till the 10th. So we've got the next, you know, today's April 2nd. We've got till April 10th. If you guys are listening right now, if you say, hey, well, let's move over 100,000, maybe 50-50 or 25-75. So I'm willing to lower it down just for the next 8 days. And then also we'll do, let's see, if it's below that, I'll do, you know, $1,000 setup fee as opposed to $1,500 setup fee. So,
well, this has been out. Every time you go and speak, there's always somebody. I mean, how much time you got to spend and do this kind of cheap free stuff? I mean, is that going to be available forever?
That is not going to be available forever, but luckily, you know, some of the people that have come on early on, I've ended up getting a lot more business from them. So, you know, with more business comes more money. With more money comes more time. With more time comes more resources to be able to hire other people and to, you know, be able to scale this out. I'm also in talks with some guys right now about doing the non-hold your private key grandma just button version, but, you know, obviously it's not the way to go, but, you know, it's a thing. So, I mean, if you're like, oh, hey, Tim's, you know, get, and obviously it's not you saying this, but I'm sure there's always haters. There's always trolls who be like, oh, you know, Tim's charging money. He's making money off this. Well, go do it yourself. Go mess something up. Go spend 6 months to go figure it out. Go hire a lawyer that's going to cost more than me anyways. And, or maybe by then the price of Bitcoin will be $8,000 and great, you know, you saved $1,000, but now the price of Bitcoin is double. So, you know, you're welcome to go do it yourself. It's a free voluntary world. I'm not holding the gun to anybody's head, but, you know, as of right now, if you do want to, you know, help support Liberty, help support a liberty-oriented advisor. And it's more than just being able to get into the assets. It's the advice that I'm giving. It's the, you know, if you're close to retirement and you're wondering and you don't know about all the different dangers that are out there, you don't know the different hedging strategies, you don't know what's the best way to make sure that you're going to be able to get through retirement and not run out of money, then you got to talk to a professional like myself. And yeah, it's going to cost you some money, but, you know, it's probably going to cost you more money to not listen.
Oh, yeah, no. We have friends and family who have been working with Tim for a while. And they just, you know, I tell you, it's just a peace of mind. I bring guys like Tim, one, because he's local and here, and I got to know him over the years and, you know, I have fun and so on. But it has mind, right? You know, this is what I hate. I'm like, all right, now I got to start dealing with how I'm going to be doing my taxes. You know, do I need to, like, open up another LLC? Do I need to do this or do that? Because I've just been doing sole proprietor of, I write off everything I do. It goes into this stuff anyway. And I just go here, and I don't have to fill out as much paperwork and, you know, they can suck it. Well, then they keep changing rules. It's like, you know, I'm just doing it this way. I'm keeping it easy and simple because I'm not a paperwork filler-outer guy. And I go to accountants and say, all right, if I want to do this the way that they want and everything, y'all show me what. Oh, and you got to pay your tax, got to build the roads, and we got to do this and do that. Now, we'll save you a little bit on here, but every day you get up, you print out a Google map thing for your real estate wife and where she's gone, this kind of, it's like a game, a daily game. You spend your entire life worrying about how your receipt and good. God, I'm like, what? I would pay an extra $1,000, you know, the extra $5,000 a year not to have to do all that crap. How much am I saving to spend a piece of every day having the man over a brown, dark cloud over my head? What I got to spend? How much more? Well, you'd probably be down $2,500. I go, wait a minute. So I clear my mind for a couple $100 a month. Is that what you're telling me? Boom, done. Not trade. I don't need you. Oh, and I saved a bunch of money there too. How about that? And if you don't have your mind right and you got somebody sitting there gaming it, wanting you to play the game of how you think you're getting past the IRS and doing, I'm not playing that game. I mean, they make me fill out the paperwork, they make me do minimalist amount of whatever, and what's my extortion fee? You know, how much extortion? I have a lot of friends, wealthy guys, and they were telling me, one guy lives in Fountain Hills, he goes, you know, I pay everything I have, plus a dollar. Here's the extra dollar, just leave me alone. I am not going to do business with people that are not of the right mindset as far as I am on it's my freaking money. I need to be legal. I need to be not gone after. I don't want to get all shady on the edges. I want you to comply with all the stuff, but I don't want you to think like I'm doing, you know, the government's doing me any favor. You know, I just hate that. Tim Pachot, LibertyAdvisor.com.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android.
That's the best endorsement I can do because they can suck it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's crazy seeing the crypto prices going up here. I did see there's a lot of like April Fool stuff being passed around with, you know, people saying that the Bitcoin ETF was approved, but it was April Fool. So I'm hoping that this isn't somehow like a fool's rally of people buying a whole bunch of fake news.
But it's a real fool's rally. Yeah, that's awesome.
No, I wasn't really meant to be a joke. I didn't plan that out ahead of time. So
It's so obvious to me what's happening, but because you can't put a government approval certified stamp on some, I mean, you're like the closest to government certified, approved, licensed, you know, bonded, insured stamp, funk, whatever that we got on this, because I don't seek out these guys. Every time I have them on, they're so full of crap. They're marketing or selling something other than the philosophy of those that of us that know, and we don't get screwed. Because so many of my friends and family got, not my family so much. They, you know, and a lot of my close friends and a lot of the libertarians, they did okay. You know, they kind of took it, maybe not have got the right timing, you know, right at its peak or something, but they finally got enough to where, yeah, I'm going to sell that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to, and they came out a lot better than others. And my kids, a lot of times on this housing thing, they made bank. You know, they got low, sold high, you know, and did get all, you know, emotional to it. And that's one thing that Scott was talking about. Don't get all hodl on things. You know, just you know, you need to, you know, take your percentage when you can. And now when it's up, you know, on a housing thing, when things are going to go to crap and you're able to take, you know, 25-30% or even more off the top, you take, well, hell yeah. But we bought wisely. Just freaking do it now, because I don't think it's going to be there. So the thing now with you know, families' homes that they're putting up for sale, they're going to be fat. How far do you go down? You know, how fast do you reduce the price to make sure you get ahead of this thing and you actually get sold with, you know, some equity? Because it's starting to go down. It's like, I mean, is it $5,000-$10,000 a month, a week, or whatever you bring? You want to get ahead of it and get sold and get the maximum out of it, as opposed to, never mind, we'll just stay. No, you don't want to stay. This is going to get bad, in my opinion. Again, you know. So, and I get no pleasure in getting to say, I told you so. Like, I told you so. I told you so. There's no pleasure in that. And it's going to be bad. What about your family and so on, and friends and your clients? Are they generally of the opinion that, you know, you're right, or are they just kind of waiting for something? What?
Well, I think, you know, it's, you know, it is a marketplace. So if people don't think I'm right, they're free to leave anytime. Their money's not locked up. And, you know, I still do have a couple, you know, really ultra liberal clients who, you know, I'm just, sometimes I'm wondering, okay, well, when's the day that I'm going to say something that's going to finally piss them off enough? But, you know, if they're, which most of those people are already gone. So, you know, there's so much stuff out there. If you Google my name that, you know, if you're, you know, have Trump derangement syndrome, or if you've, you know, are on the other side of things, that, you know, certainly there's enough stuff out there I've said that have pissed people off. But, yeah, for most people, I think they saw that this last downturn we had from October to December, I was pinpointing that as the actual time. And I've got, you know, tons of podcasts and appearances on your show where I was pinpointing that as the time frame. And as that whole calamity was going down, and, you know, a lot of people in the general market, a lot of the big, you know, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Googles during that time frame were down like 30, 40, 50%. And, you know, my clients were down like 4 or 5. So when everyone's down 20% and you're down 4 or 5%, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, things are, you know, we're doing pretty good. And I had no phone calls, no one worried, no one stressed out.
I hear her coming back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
And the man be a-coming. You don't want his. He gets first on the list, I guarantee it. And a lot of the protections that people had on debt slavery and going to jail for debt and so on has been, you know, bankruptcy, and they just keep taking stuff off that you can't clear student debts. You know, I think
or you can't get divorced if you owe too much state taxes or back taxes and all sorts of stuff.
Really?
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, if you got $50,000, you're not allowed. They're going to take your passport and you're not allowed to leave. Yeah, that's a concern. You know, it's said, you know, you owed a man, you a slave, you debt slave. You in America and you ain't going nowhere. Yeah, we got a wall.
So, oh, you know what's hilarious? So and maybe I can find this during the next break, but Jeff Berwick posted a video, I think he was at the W Hotel in Scottsdale a few days ago, and there's a sign, and he goes, he's right over here, he goes, all right, this sign says no smoking, and then he pans like 3 feet over, and it goes, smoking, no smoking, smoking. So there's literally a sign that says no smoking, and then like a few feet away, there's another sign that says designated smoking area. Non-smoking area? Designated smoking area. He goes, this is land of the free, USA. And it was like within like a 4 feet span of this is the smoking area.
Hey, man, they wanted to make sure the border and the line was done. You know, and I went through this here in the Valley, and it was a big thing about no smoking in restaurants and so on. They pass a law. Well, there's an initiative, and it was like, well, shouldn't restaurants be able to determine whether they will allow smoking or not? Well, then it was health things, secondhand smoke of employees of whatever. Well, then it was designated areas. And what about these cigar rooms? You know, they had, you know, like smoking bars. Hell, can you even have a diner to where I grew up as a kid, you knew everybody was done. It was a signal they were done with their meal when they had a cigarette butt in the leftover of their scrambled eggs or something. I mean, I grew up with freaking cigarette crap everywhere, which I prefer not. But I understand the freedom of a business owner going, yeah, hell, I'll do it. And that was what the Restaurant Association here was afraid of. They didn't want to give an unfair marketing advantage to restaurants that would allow smoking, because then all the smokers would go there. And they're like, but we don't want that. We got to make sure that they don't have the freedom to go to a smoking breakfast and live in a cloud of whatever. And I'm going, just the mindset is so jacked up. I would probably, you know, frequent a place that didn't smoke. But the point is that do you have that freedom as a business owner? No, hell no. We got to, you know, rule everything. Then that attitude comes down to what? Things like these private companies are not only allowed and sometimes required to report BS numbers on what their debt structure is and what they can tell their investors. And, you know, the government says, I got to report this 130% of value of number or something later. Man, you know why it's going to go down is because the incentives are wrong. And this is one thing that I learned, God, decades ago from someone. They said, you want to know the future of a country, look at what is incentivized and what is punished. In this country now, production is punished. Progressive income tax, you're more successful, you're punished. Savings, punished. You know, what's rewarded? Sloth, inactivity, dependency, you know, disability is all rewarded. Then what the hell do you think you're going to get more of? What do you think you're going to get less of?
Yeah, being a single parent, you're rewarded.
Right.
You know, all sorts of things.
These incentives, you know, until this is addressed, you're going to have this kind of crap, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And because of Obamacare actually, I would say there's not really even a tax advantage for most people to even being married. Because of Obamacare, it's almost like your incentive to not to be married. I mean, nowadays you're incentivized, even if you're a guy, to say you're a girl and go, if you want to be in the UFC or something, you can go fight women as a man. And
that has got to be a test of something. That's got to be a God test of something that we got men, boxing and women, whatever, tennis of bicycling. I mean,
breaking those skulls. And if you say anything, then you're the bad guy. And you know what? I'm not willing to bend in that. If you want to go shadow ban me, you want to go arrest me, you want to go do whatever you can.
They did it, Navratilova. You know, I remember when, what's her first name?
Maria.
Yeah, Navratilova, great tennis player and everything. And all of a sudden came out. And she's gay. And I'm like going, I think we knew that a long time ago. Anyway, so she comes out and she says, no, men, you know, taking a hormone and declaring and identifying as and coming, and that's stupid. Boom! Go attack her and ban her. And kind of, I'm going, Rhea, really? I go, this is interesting. Where is this going to flush out? I don't know. But we're going to find out.
I could maybe make the Olympics as a woman swimmer in the 50-yard free, potentially.
Yeah,
so.
Grow your hair, claim, man.
I don't even need to grow my hair. Yeah, you can
party. Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. That'd be good.
Just get a full sleeve suit, which I already own, and so I identify as a girl today. I can be in the Olympics.
Ooh, I want. You know, I remember when I was in high school in the late 70s, Title IX was a big thing, and it was passed down to us as the student council. I was in the student council on, you know, my class and, you know, of course, on the, you know, state, the whole school thing.
I've given an entire presentation in high school on Title IX, so I'm very well aware of that.
So what they did is we couldn't have, you know, him, all the pronouns had to be, this is in the 70s. All the pronouns had to be changed, and they had to be equal opportunity for whatever. Well, a friend of mine, Steve, he was like one of my best friends. He was like, he was really good at badminton, and he didn't have a boys badminton team. He wouldn't be on the badminton team. I go, is there some big giant, you know, physical advantage for a guy being on? And he wasn't really tall or anything. You know, he'd be on the badminton team. We want Steve on the badminton team. Woohoo! Let's do badminton. Men's volleyball. Okay. Nope, not allowed. It was just all hypocrisy. It was just crap. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And now it got to the point, the only way they can get away, well, you got to self-identify. And you get more bathrooms. And you get, I mean, this is just, at some point, it's going to be, someone's going to call BS on it. And I wonder if it's going to be in the 2020 presidential cycle. In the 2020 presidential cycle, whoever's first is, they always go away. Well, who was first? Elizabeth Warren. She comes out first, that's next. You know, Biden, he's a creepy Biden, you know, next. There's going to be somebody else. And what's going to be their draw? How liberal, how social justice warrior-y, how something, and guarantee Trump get elected again. I'm like, are they doing this on purpose? Or, you know, what's behind this?
I mean, because of all the economic stuff going down, what I perceive to be going down, I mean, it should be basically giving a layup to the Democrats, and they're just completely squandering this entire chance that they have. Not that I'm like, I'm just saying this as a political agnostic of trying to war game what's going on. But yeah, it's crazy that, you know, the Democrats are basically shooting themselves in the foot left and right. And you've got, you know, basically creepy Joe Biden is pretty much, you know, their best chance. And I see Trump being able to, that he would be, I think Biden would be tough. You know, then it depends on, you know, how much teeth Bernie Sanders has this time. Is he going to, you know, lay back and, you know, be willing to get screwed over again? I mean, who knows? So, you know, I think
this whole thing is going to be seen as irrelevant. I mean, that's my dream, is that the politics are just going, it just doesn't matter anymore.
He's making the case for anarchy and libertarianism, right? You know, better and better every day. I'm like, you know, oh yeah, you know, like I whispered into your ear on stage, because I'm like, you know, for what? You know, like, I'm an anarchist compared to what? You know, to this crap show that's going on. I mean, just look at who's ahead of the House Financial Services Committee. Maxine Waters, whose husband engaged, and her and her husband engaged in all sorts of insider trading and all sorts of, you know, sweetheart deals for his own banks that he owned, and she's a complete idiot. And then you got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is on the Financial Services Committee. So my effing profession, the people that are in charge of me and what I can do, is Maxine Waters, who's an idiot, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, you got to be freaking kidding me that these two retards are in charge of me. I have forgotten more yesterday than these people have ever learned, and they're the ones in charge of regulating me. You've got to be kidding me. I mean, you can't even make this stuff
up.
Yeah,
Cortez has been caught in a bunch of inaccuracies on a lot of things. She just wings it. Just, well, I'm just, you know what I mean, you know? But do you? I tell you where I made out. You know, on my crypto, I went and took a bunch of a bunch of the other stuff that I had, you know, so a lot of it was Dash and some other things. And I bought Horizon, you know, Zencash. And because it was down in $3, $4 something. I'm going, hell yeah. Pardon me?
Like $7 now or something
like
that?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% whatever kind of, you know, if I had some real money, man, I'd make some real money. You know, I just, but, you know, it's just,
This sucks too, because I was, you know, hoping to get a good paycheck this month. And then, and I was, you know, talking, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to try to get some stuff this month. And of course this happens. But who knows? I mean, it's such a small market, relatively speaking, that a small amount of money can influence the market. And I was listening to...
That's what Scott says. You know, you take your profits and do it again, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to look something up right now where I was driving, listening to the Bad Crypto podcast, which I don't listen to very often anymore, but Brock Pierce was on, which he would be a great guy for the show, because he kept... I forgot what phrase he was using, but it was a phrase that you use all the time. But yeah, Brock Pierce would be a great person for you guys to try to get on Cambridge.
I'll send, you know, just enough contact information, Donna, take care of. She's over there right now booking a bunch of people. Ooh, that's going to be a good one, and that's a good one, and that's a good one. So we're working on it right now.
One of the things that he said that was interesting yesterday is that there's a Cambridge Associates, which is sort of like the God's word when it comes to pension funds, according to Brock Pierce. And what he was saying is they recently made, and I'm trying to find this right now on the fly, that they made a recommendation that all pension funds have, I think, at least like 0.3 to 0.9%, something like that, exposure to crypto, which would mean like an influx of like triple the size of the entire crypto
market. Oh, see, it's going to be something like that. All right, let's talk about that when we come back. Here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
What? I know, Deb, saved by, you know, saved by Tim Pachote at the libertyadvisor.com. All right, now, you know, tell us, Tim, you know, it's one thing we were just talking about in the break. All of a sudden you have these big, giant, we suggest, and you should, and you got it, and then it'll become a law. And are advising people to start making a little teeny bit of their portfolio what?
Okay, so I'm going to try to find this, but there was a episode of the Bad Crypto Podcast with Brock Pierce from March 25th, and Brock Pierce is a big-time crypto OG, actual like billionaire. I think he was also a childhood actor in the what's that one hockey movie, Mighty Ducks?
Mighty Ducks, yeah.
Yeah, so Brock, I mean, he's sort of a controversial figure, but anyways, he was saying that there was a story from Cambridge Associates where Cambridge Associates, you know, what they say, you know, pretty much goes in the pension world. I think they advise, I'm reading an article here, like $300 billion of pension assets. But apparently if they I think came out somewhere and said, according to Brock, that these pensions should, actually here's a challenge, right? Here's a quote. Despite the challenges, we believe that it is worthwhile for investors to begin exploring this area today with an eye towards the long term, dot, dot, dot. Though these investments entail a high degree of risk, some may very well upend the digital world. And basically, if you were to go ahead and maybe make like a 0.3 to 0.8% allocation, which is, I believe, what Brock said that they were recommending, and you make it, and crypto ends up turning to, you know, crap, well then, hey, you know, the people that were God told us to do it, and we were just following them, and you know, we put our hands up in the air, plausible deniability. However, if you don't do it, and crypto goes, you know, shoots up to the moon, and then you're the only one left holding the bag, not, you know, missed the boat, then, you know, you didn't follow the recommendation, and then you can be fired. So there's almost like there's a greater risk to not do it for these guys because Cambridge said to do it, and so with Cambridge analysts. You know, if I believe Brock was saying if all the big institutions had funds just put 0.3%, there would be something like $300 billion. Not sure if he's getting that $300 billion confused with the other $300 billion number. Who knows? Either way, it would be a gigantic number.
Because the entire market cap of all cryptocurrencies is about $163 billion. I'm looking at now, so 162.375. So you got 162 billion, and then all of a sudden this triples that, doubles it. You know, just by this recommendation of itty bitty teeny weeny amount of your portfolio, and where are you even going to do that? Who's going to provide that service? TheLibertyAdvisor.com. You know, this is when you first started doing this, we were talking about the opportunity and the future of this a couple of years ago. I mean, you went head down plow on this thing, and you're one of the first, if not, you know, in this full package here. How many people can even do what you're doing?
I don't know of a single other, I mean, not that your audience cares about license, but I mean, I don't know of a single other financial advisor that's licensed, that's able to do this for their clients. And I'm talking with, I mean, I was talking with the guys behind BitcoinIRA.com last week. I've talked in CoinIRA.com. I've talked, I mean, I'm talking with other people. Do not a single person has heard of somebody like me that is able to legit legally do this. And I teamed up.
And you get to keep your private keys. That's the big thing that was a non-starter for me. I go, look, it's not mine if I don't have it, you know, if I don't have control of it. You're able to do that, and you keep the private keys.
Yeah, the only other people that are sort of like me, and I don't even want to say sort of, because I mean, definitely this, you know, that cheapens what I'm doing. But you've got guys like, you know, that were, you know, sponsoring in our Capoco, the perpetual assets guys were, you know, that was the one guy that gave the speech, and like every other word was the F word. Believe me, I say the F word plenty, but it was the one speech that was just so ridiculously bad that I almost felt like I had to. Wanted to bury my head in the sand or something. The speech was so bad. And so there are people that are out there who are able to get you into this vehicle, and they're not allowed to provide advice on it. So it's just, hey, you're in the vehicle, boom, you're done, and next, and now you're basically not a client. So it's a transaction. Whereas what I'm doing is really a service. You're getting to, you know, ask questions. I hear what's going on in your financial life. I say, hey, you know, I'd recommend this. You know, it also would be wise for you to do that. And so I can legally provide advice. I think I have got a lot of basis to be able to make good recommendations. And there's a lot of information people just don't know that's out there. And so I'm able to help people out. And to that extent, I don't know that there's anybody else that's able to do what I'm doing. And I think I've got the, I did screenshot, you know, roughly the spot of that Bad Crypto podcast where Brock talks about that. So if you want, I can go ahead and try to play that now.
Yeah, go ahead. You know, we got something, we got time.
Let me just, okay, share computer sound.
Well, while you're doing that, you know, I want to show people here. There's a headline we got, why Russia's dumping dollars and buying gold at the fastest pace in decades. There's a reason. All right, here we go. Go ahead.
Okay, you know what? It was my let me see if the audio is okay. That are touching
crypto. Cambridge Associates just told the world that they have to have crypto exposure, which means that as a Harvard endowment, or as the teachers union, as the California teachers union, or whatever it might be, if they don't invest in crypto or blockchain and things go really well, they probably get fired. But if they do invest in crypto and or blockchain and they lose money, they probably keep their jobs. Again, Cambridge Associates, what they say matters. So we're going to go from 10 institutions being part of this to thousands. Now, these institutions move slowly, so it's only been 2 weeks. So you're going to watch this happen over the next 3, 6, 12, 24 months. But they recommended, I think, about 30 to 50 basis points of exposure, which means $300 billion of capital is coming into crypto because of that release. And that $300 billion is more, you know, crypto's at about $130 billion market and aggregate market cap right now. That number, we have $300 billion coming in. So buckle your seatbelts. Get ready for a good time.
All right.
Get ready for a good time. And, yeah, you know, who knows? I mean, so what I'm thinking is there's probably going to be some pullbacks. People are going to be taking some profit. And so use that opportunity right now to get a hold of myself, tim@innovativewealth.com. And, you know, if you've got over $100,000, flash sale right now. We won't charge you anything extra on our end to set it up for you. It's a hell of a deal. It's a loss leader. And what I know is that, you know, there's going to be people who, you know, hey, we're going to start off with, you know, a little bit here and here, and then I'll win the rest of their money. Or, you know, there'll be, you know, one guy out there who say, oh yeah, hey, you can manage the rest of my millions. And I know it's a loss leader type thing. And, you know, luckily with some of the stuff slowing down with the Anarchapoco and Anarchazona is behind me, I've got, you know, a little bit more time right now than I would otherwise. These big projects are finishing up now. But, you know, it's, you know, this offer is not going to be around forever. You know, the ability to talk to me, I mean, you go call Bureau Pacific, you're not talking to Peter Schiff.
No.
You've got $10 million, you're not talking to Peter Schiff. He's got, you know, time is money.
Well, I just want the audience to know, I've had friends and family and a lot of people that we've known what's going on using Tim, and they all of a sudden a big giant load is off their mind because they know what's coming. They've been through this cycle enough. But the sequence of return risk thing, you know, they're getting to where they're starting to take out their retirement. You know, it's not just keep putting in and then stock market's great. What happens when it, now it's in there and I'm retired, I'm not putting any more, I'm taking out, and boom, it takes a dump in your 40% of what you were. So I'm just going, this is, you know, you got freaking now, you know, so they are, and they feel so much better. And regardless of what happens now, this is a goes up, down, you know, you got the mind right, know what's going to happen. Here we go. He's got a good track record. Now, the thing is on the crypto, for them saying, yep, you need to have part of it in crypto just so you keep your job, just a itty-bitty little bit of that, boom, it's to the moon. Well, we anticipated that this was going to happen. But there are other factors also. There's going to be a consolidation of a lot of these cryptos in there, and some of them are gone. Because what are the features? So when I did it, and I go, all right, I don't got a whole bunch, but I'll put here, 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 and then just see what happens. Boom, if I had some real money, I'd be doing really good. Well, it's on based on what? the philosophy of the offering, the coin, what it actually does and what's behind it. Why go to this one? What does this one do that that one doesn't? If you don't have that answer or understand, don't do it. Because somebody said? I can't tell you how many times, $500, come on, put it into your little bit, just a couple hundred, just to shut them up. All right, here's $100, here's $500. I put it, whatever, it goes to crap. See, there, done. Why did you do it? Well, because they said. That don't mean nothing. What does it do? What's the philosophy behind it? Who are the people? So you need help getting into this. A lot of times it's going to be your decision, but when you do it, when you pull the trigger, there's going to be somebody needs to actually extract you from the mauls of the freaking the beast. The Mall of the Beast.
Check out my presentation. So I want to get that in there as well. It's going to be up there on probably World Alternative Media. It's going to be on my YouTube channel. It's on BitChute. You can go to the Liberty
Bond. And Freedom Phoenix.
And Freedom Phoenix, as soon as it's up there, should be up there soon.
All right, why is Russia dumping dollars and buying gold real quick? Oh, yeah. Before you go. No, I want to do it. Basis points. They have 50 basis points. Is that like, you know, what, 100%. Half a percent or something?
Half a percent. 100 okay. Basis points is 1%.
Okay, so it's just broken each percent down into little bitty ticks, okay? So yeah. A basis point is a percentage of a percent. Right.
Satoshi. Yeah. It's a small amount.
All right. Why is Russia dumping dollars and buying gold?
Who wants to hold on to dollars? I mean, because they can control you. And so if you can be controlled, then, you know.
There we go. You got it. So they can control you. Good enough answer. You know, get rid of the dollars. Get rid of the dollars. So this is happening. God, now.
I believe there's a SWIFT system, too. Like a SWIFT alternative where China and Russia just joined together to have some SWIFT killer system.
Well, that's what they're talking about, but you know,
I think they just like formalized something the other day. So SWIFT. Let me type in SWIFT killer Russia, China. I don't know, see what pops up. Russian banks join Chinese alternative SWIFT payment system. Beginning of the advent of SWIFT. I'm just on the fly research here of something I haven't looked at before. Several Russian banks have joined the China International Payment System, or CIPS, to ease operations between the two countries, according to a senior official at the Central Bank of Russia. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, just
okay, if the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications, SWIFT, is shut down in Russia, the country's banking system will not crash, according to Central Bank Governor Navira Nabulina, whatever. Russia has a substitute. So this was 23rd of March. 17. So this is like 2 years ago. So they've been yakking about this. So I'm going Russia banking ready. All right. See Russia SWIFT.
Well, my article is from 2 days ago.
Russia SWIFT alternative. Yeah, but they've been talking about this for a while, you know, and so we've been, you know, pushing this. See, pushes its alternative. Here, let me just hit news. So I get it more current.
Manhattan real estate sales fall for six straight quarter.
Bitcoin news 4 hours ago. Here we go. Got to get the Bitcoin guys. Russian banks join Chinese SWIFT. Is the dollar era under threat? All right, here we go.
Yep, I'm on that article as well right now.
I add that to everybody. Go put this up. Boom. There we go. Did you restart the video? All right, I guess we're doing audio. The computer restarted, and I guess it waited till, you know, this is update of, you know, Windows 10 is just updating. It's just, you know, here's what's, I mean, you guys don't even see it. You know, the video's over. They're updating, you know, and kind of, you know, being buttheads. So I just, I hate Windows, man. This is kind of crap that's going to happen to us and all our stuff we do, which is why we're doing everything in Linux. When we're, you know, all this IPFS stuff and everything, it's all going to be Linux, you know, so we're putting it all on, even the computers that we're doing and laptops that we're doing and the Raspberry, it's Linux, because they can suck it. See, as Saudi oil minister once remarked, the Stone Age didn't end because we ran out of stones. It seems it's neither the deficit of a tool nor its deficiencies that make it obsolete, but rather the invention of new tools that do the job better. With increasing competition, will the U.S. dollar continue to be the world's primary currency? Will it come to be just one of several reserve fiat currencies, or will cryptocurrency become the new instrument that powers the global economy? Well, it's going to have a crypto aspect to it. It already does. That's what, you know, Tether and Ripple and a lot of the stuff they already do is for anyway. And JP Morgan, GoldmanSucks.gov coin, and all this other crap. So this is going to happen. And what I'm looking at is if the Chinese and the Russians create something that is going to be more decentralization, oh my God, down to the individual, it's over. And I don't know if they're willing to go that far. You think they are?
I'll be honest, I wasn't paying attention. I was replying to John Snyson on
Facebook. Well, no, my question is why, you know, the competition with the dollar SWIFT payment mechanism is going to be Russia and China doing something. And they're going to be challenging SWIFT with probably a crypto-backed mechanism. Now, here in the U.S., they're using Tether and Ripple and trying to make it kind of semi-banking crap, you know. But I'm going, do you think what's going to happen is are they going to have a crypto alternative that is going to be down to the decentralization for the individual and everybody flood into it?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people have a slave-like mentality, and so a lot of people are like, you know, the problem with crypto is it's not backed by government. And so you get a lot of people who say that. And I'm looking right now on CoinMarketCap, and actually the volume for Tether past 24 hours is $17.6 billion, and the volume for Bitcoin was $17.5 billion. So Tether actually has a higher trading volume than Bitcoin right now. And a lot of times it does. Sometimes it has even way more. And that volume is actually pretty crazy right now.
Well, that's one thing on Bitcoin. We just had stories up that there was gazillions. Vast majority of the volume on Bitcoin was generated, was just made up.
Yeah, like some, because a lot of the smaller exchanges want to seem like they have more liquidity than they really do. And so I believe that the article said that there was only maybe like 10 exchanges that were legit. It was like Bittrex and I think Coinbase and
the ones that report you the most.
Yeah, Kraken. I mean, there was only a few of them. But you know, I do have to get going. Sort of want to talk to you offline a little bit as well.